I want to follow through Paul's reasoning here in Romans 13 from verse 8 about love fulfilling the law. Owe no one anything apart from to love one another, for he that loves his neighbour has fulfilled the law. So, to love others is, as it were, an eternal debt, because love of others is, of course, ongoing as long as we live. We are to love our neighbour as ourselves. So, as long as we are alive, we have this debt. And it seems, in that sense, an unpayable debt that goes on all our lives. And yet, of course, it is a reflection of our debt to the Lord Jesus, a debt which we can never repay, and which is to be reflected in our endlessly loving others. Now, to put some sort of meaning into this general term, you know, love other people, in Romans 1:14, Paul talks about the debt that he feels to preach to all men, to introduce the gospel to all people. And here in chapter 13, he says that we have this debt to love one another. So putting the two together, the parallel really is between loving our neighbour as ourselves and sharing the gospel with them. Now, of course, love is more than that, and it is not limited to sharing the gospel with somebody. But I do think that this is the ultimate way that you can love your neighbour, that whatever you do for a person in a material sense, this too shall end, this too shall pass. But if you can, with God's grace, persuade somebody, even one person in your life, of the good news of Jesus Christ, and to help them to come into him in baptism, to help them to abide in him, and to come finally into his kingdom, that's fantastic. He that loves his neighbour has fulfilled the law. Well, the Lord Jesus fulfilled the law by his death on the cross. That was, therefore, the ultimate love of neighbour. So let's put these two together again. He that loves his neighbour has fulfilled the law. Jesus fulfilled the law when he died on the cross. The death of the cross, then, is the ultimate love of neighbour as self. And there's a lot of ways that people claim to love their neighbour, which are, in fact, only reinforcing their own personal ego, and they actually feel real good about what they're doing, etc., and very self-congratulatory about their charitable giving and so forth. And of course, I'm not saying don't do that. I'm just pointing out that the death of the cross, which is absolutely against the grain of everything that is in every human being, that is the ultimate fulfilling of the law. But taking this a bit further, in what sense then did the death of the cross, the ultimate act of love, as it says, Jesus having loved his own that were in the world, loved them unto the end, and went out and died on the cross for them, in what sense then is the law fulfilled by love to the end? I think that the idea is that the law of Moses was designed to inculcate a perfection of love. That is not the standard view of the law of Moses, but I do think that the whole law was designed to be self-reinforcing, so that as somebody lived that law, they were propelled towards a life and personality of love. Now, that is not how the law of Moses is unfortunately perceived by a lot of people, but that was the intention. Human failure, failure to obey the law, failure to be led where the law was intended to lead, does not mean that the law was anything other than holy, just, and good, as Paul says. There was nothing wrong with the law, and as David often says, God's law was perfect and was aimed to convert the sinner. So the law of God was not a leash, was not a chain, because man is not a dog, and the God's law, any law, the law of Moses, any of God's laws, are not a chain. We're not designed to limit man and to somehow tie us up so that we have to mournfully, like a dog on a chain, regret our loss of freedom and desperately yearn to be free. Not at all. That is a total misunderstanding. The idea was that by obeying the law, it would lead you to the life of absolute love, of death on a cross for your neighbour. Jesus was the only person who completely fulfilled the law, in that he was the one who was the man to whom the law led, if it were totally obeyed. Now, human failure notwithstanding, that was the intention of God's law. Now, it didn't work out because people were disobedient. And so we're told in Jeremiah and Ezekiel that God decided that, okay, so you've broken the old covenant, so I'll make a new covenant. And that involves God's Spirit, and it involves God writing his law in human hearts, putting the spirit of the law, putting the end point that the law was supposed to inculcate directly into human hearts by his Spirit and by his grace. And because the fulfillment of the law in its ultimate term, was Jesus. It was the death of Jesus on the cross. It is that which he is willing now to write in human hearts. And we are under the new covenant. And we celebrate it when we take the cup of the New Testament or the cup of the new covenant, when we break bread. The Spirit of Christ is therefore the power to be like him, the power to get to that point which the law of Moses was intended to lead to and could have led to, and it did in the case of Jesus. But we failed, humanity failed, and so God wrote the spirit of that law, which is the Spirit of Christ, his Son, into our hearts. He is willing to give us the power to be like Jesus. So, verse 9, for this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, shall not steal, shall not covet, and if there's any other commandment, it is briefly summed up in this word, namely, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. Now, just a little point there. He quotes from Exodus 20, and then he says it's summed up in this word, namely, and then he quotes from Leviticus 19, verse 18. Jesus, in Matthew 19, 18 and 19, combines those same two passages, Exodus 20, 12 to 16, followed by Leviticus 19, 18. So, how freaky is that? I understand Paul was writing under inspiration of the Spirit, but he was also, there was a human element in inspiration. He, as a lover of the Scriptures and a lover of Jesus, was writing to the brethren in Rome. And I wonder really if he had so thought about the words of Jesus that he decided to do the same, to combine those same two quotations. Anyway, of course, that's a pattern for us of how absolutely Christ-focused we should be, particularly upon the Gospels. So then the whole law, the whole Spirit of Christ, the fulfillment of the law, which was in the death of the cross, was fulfilled in this statement, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. So then love is the final point of maturity. And 1 Corinthians 13 says that clearly, that this is the perfection. And likewise, when Paul talks about the fruit of the fruit of the Spirit is love, singular. And all the other aspects, the joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, etc., these are all aspects of love. The singular fruit of the Spirit is love. And of course, love is multidimensional. So then, love works no evil to his neighbour, verse 10 of Romans 13. Love, therefore, is the fulfilment of the law. Well, that's putting it negatively. Love works no evil. But then, in verse 9, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. So the positive is to love your neighbour as yourself, and the negative aspect, if you like, is to do no evil to your neighbour. So then, working no evil is effectively, I think, talking about don't think that sins of omission are any less. Don't commit evil and do not omit to do love to your neighbour. So then, this is our problem, isn't it? Sins of omission. And I think Paul here is alluding to the Septuagint of Proverbs 3, 27 to 29, where we read that withholding good from our neighbour, when it's in the power of our hand to do it, is sort of paralleled with devising evil against our neighbour. We may say, well, I don't devise evil against anybody. Well, that is the sort of outcome in God's eyes of not doing good to your neighbour when it's in the power of your hand to do it. In other words, sins of omission are read by God as if they are sins of commission. I mention that because I think the sins of omission, especially when it comes to this whole issue of loving our neighbour, are likely our most common form of failure. So then, love is the fulfilment of the law. This is the point to which we are being propelled by the Spirit of Christ. This was the point to which the law of Moses was intended to propel people if they were obedient to the whole package that was in the law, but they didn't get there. And so the new covenant, which is made possible because Jesus died on the cross, he fulfilled the law. He got to where the law was intended to lead, to a life of total self-sacrifice for neighbour. That spirit of Jesus can be written in our hearts by God through the gift of the Holy Spirit, if we allow it.